The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning, good morning. Did y'all have a good Thanksgiving? Lots of food? Lots of dessert? Yeah, sometimes? Okay. Are you good at waiting? Kind of. What about patience? Do you know what the word patience means? Yeah, what does patience mean? Okay, you don't know how long it'll take? It's a pretty good definition. We're in the season of Advent, which is a time of waiting. And there are lots of things that we are waiting on. We're waiting to celebrate Christmas, right? I know that there are trees up everywhere, and you see lots of Christmas lights and Christmas music. But Christmas is 5 weeks away, 4 weeks away. We've got a little bit of time. We've got to wait. Some people are waiting for a new year, for new opportunities. Y'all might be waiting for vacation, right? Christmas break, that's coming pretty quick. Is it easy to wait? No, it's not. You can ask any one of those folks out there, look at them. You ask them if it's easy to wait. No, see all those heads shaking? Nope, it's not easy to wait. It's not easy now, and it doesn't get any easier. But it's part of what we practice as patients. This season of Advent, I've got a blue stole on. We've got blue on the altar. We're going to start decorating with lights and trees and candles. Each week, we do a little more preparation. Each week, we'll light another candle on our Advent wreath as a part of our preparing to celebrate Christmas. So we practice patience, and we wait. So, good luck over the next couple of weeks. Good luck to all of us. It seems that every year it gets a little bit busier, and Christmas wants to come just a little bit faster, but our reminder during this season is to slow down, to have patience, and to practice waiting. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us with so many gifts. Help us to wait, to have patience, to not be so busy or to rush, to think and to pray and to prepare for the birth of Jesus. Amen. All right, I think y'all have got practice. We practicing today? Nope. All right, head back to your parents. Practice next Saturday. And next Sunday, y'all are preaching. So we'll have all of the youth up here. It'll be a lot of fun. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wake up. There could be a theme for the first Sunday in Advent. It is exactly that. Wake up. All of the gospel messages across our three lectionary cycles from Mark, Matthew, and Luke have that same theme. It's jarring. And when we read the stories, it's a little bit weird. It's not something you'd expect when the world around us is being decorated in bright lights and festive singing and the rush of the holidays is already upon us. Seems like we're already awake, but awake to a different tune, a different rhythm. And Advent cuts against that. That's why it is so jarring. Maybe this season of the church year is more countercultural than any of the others that we celebrate. Nobody else does this. Calls for a pause, calls for patience, calls for a little bit of waiting. Year after year, it seems the date for the holidays or for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever inches a little bit further up the calendar, and I think that's been every generation's to wrestle with. I know it gets earlier, but I think every generation wrestles with, what's the right time? Is it the day after Thanksgiving? Is it the beginning of November? Is it the day after Halloween that we begin to see Christmas decorations in the stores? Every generation wrestles with that question of patience. Is it too fast? Is it too much? For those of you that like Christmas music and Christmas lights, it's a wonderful season because it keeps getting longer. And that's okay. We don't have to stress over it. I used to split hairs over when I could listen to Christmas music or when the Christmas tree grows up or goes up. But I've backed away from that. If it's a season you enjoy celebrating, celebrate it. If you want to wait, wait. I want to focus on what this rhythm of our church year can teach us and what it means to wake up and be aware. What does it mean to have this story, one that Jesus tells, not just in Matthew, but in Mark and in Luke? Surely he said these words. They were remembered by multiple writers across the generations, and they all come across with the same sense of urgency. One, be alert. And two, you don't know when it's going to happen. So be on your guard. It's also going to be unexpected. It's like that proverbial jack-in-the-box. The jack-in-the-box will never pop out of the box unless you crank the handle. And so you have to be alert and active. You have to crank the handle, but you're never going to know when it's popping out of the box. And if you've ever seen that movie Elf with Will Ferrell turning the crank on the jack-in-the-box, it scares him every single time. And if you've never seen the movie, go watch it. It's wonderful. It's lighthearted. And if you've seen it, you know that he jumps every time the jack-in-the-box pops out of the box. We're kind of stuck in that. Being prepared, being active, and being engaged, and then the surprise, the startling, either the joy or the sadness, the ebb and flow of life. And today comes as a stark reminder that we live in that state, one of being ready and prepared and one of constantly being surprised at what life brings us. How many of y'all had Thanksgiving plans go not according to your plan? Right? For good or for ill. All of the preparation, all of the expectation, and then something is surprising or shocking. We can do all the work ahead of time we want, but until the event unfolds, we're never quite sure what's going to happen. That's why you can have all the stats in sports you want. One team can win on paper and then absolutely get obliterated on the field because you don't play games on paper. There's preparation, there's preparedness, and then there's response. It's what Advent is about, this wake up, being prepared, this patience, this active engaging with what's going on, not to somehow swing the outcome in our favor, but to be ready for whatever unfolds. This is an interesting time of year for Christians because we are ones that celebrate the resurrection. We know Jesus has risen. We know the presence of Christ is with us, among us, and continuing to give us new life. But here we seem to take a step back and prepare for his birth as if Jesus is not here yet. We somehow hold in tension the empty cross as we prepare a manger. But that preparation can teach us something. The slow decorating of our chancel, the lighting of a candle each week, the preparation for what's to come, even though we know the end of the story. So let's take a look at what Jesus has to say in Matthew in this rather unsettling story. He's very quick to dismiss anybody knowing except for God. At about that day and that hour, no one knows. Not the angels, not myself, only the Father in heaven. Which should put to end anybody trying to calculate it, though we've had several across the generations that have tried to. No one knows but God. End of story. And so here's where we are. He recalls the story of Noah. Until the doors were shut and the rain began to fall, people carried on, business as usual, living, working, celebrating, mourning, all the while critical of the odd old man building his boat in an empty field. Until it was upon them and it was too late. Just as that happened, Jesus said, two will be in the field, two women will be grinding meal. One will be taken and one will remain. This also has spun lots of interesting interpretations, as if we could be sitting here right in this moment and in an instant, half of us are gone. There was a fairly popular literature series on that. Great fiction. Nothing biblical about it. I'd hazard a guess that we're all going to be sitting here at the end of worship, that we're all going to get up and go back out into the world, and for some of us go to work on Monday, for some of us go back to school, for some of us wherever our feet carry us. So we shouldn't expect to be evacuated suddenly. We ought to expect the opposite. And that's where the patience and waiting come in. I've often wondered at the opposite interpretation of this scenario. Not about the one that gets evacuated for some reason, but about the one that's left. What do you do when something surprising happens? What would the one do in the field or the one grinding meal? What would that look like? Because the truth is that happens. Not that somebody is evacuated, but that life happens. You're going along, everything is bright and beautiful, and all of a sudden, there's an empty chair at the table. Not because of some rapture or immediate evacuation, but because something happens. The plane couldn't take off, so the family is not together for Thanksgiving. Somebody couldn't pay their bills, and so they can't go out to eat this month. Somebody's car doesn't start, and so they can't go to work. They've got to find another means. It's the same story, it's just a little bit different of approach, but one that we experience all the time. We just don't often relate it to this kind of preparedness. We all know that moment where plans change, where something unexpected happens, and we have to work through what has come. And I think that's actually what Advent, what this preparedness is all about. It's not the expectation that God will do something, but the understanding that God has already done something and it's changed everything. It's not about waiting for Jesus to arrive. It's about understanding that Jesus is already here and calling us forward. And that takes a different kind of awareness and a different level of preparation, a different way of being in tune with the world around us, a different way of engaging what happens outside of these walls or even inside of these walls. For all of the preparation we do for what is to come, maybe it's the preparation we do for what's already happening that Jesus is calling us to. Because that's actually what's happening in this part of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is preparing the disciples for what is to come, his own death and resurrection, where he will be suddenly taken from them, where he will be arrested, evacuated to a show trial, and then executed on a cross. He is preparing them for that great darkness. And though he has sprinkled clues throughout his ministry about it, until it happens, they're not ready. And so in all of these end sections of the Gospels, these words about what could happen, that people have spun into radical fantasies about some future of God's action in the world, that could not be further from what's going on. He's giving them a word for their time and their place. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Keep awake. And if we think about it in that vein of preparation, we remember Gethsemane and the disciples falling asleep and Jesus going continually back and forth from prayer to arousing the disciples. Wake up, can you not stay awake for just 1 hour? Pray with me, pray with me, pray with me. Keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Well, Jesus is already here. We're going to put a baby in the manger and we're going to celebrate Christmas, but let's not deny the fact that Jesus is already here and amongst us, waking us up, giving us new life, calling us to things that we may have never thought possible. And with that in mind, we take on our Advent, our time of preparing and our time of patience. Not to prepare for every single scenario that may pop up in the world and worrying about every possible thing that could happen. No. But being faithful and having faith in God's presence amongst us, knowing that God is present with us in whatever may happen. From the unexpected medical emergency to the car that won't start. God may not show up and fix our engine, but a community that God inspired might help us to get the car to the shop. Someone might show up at the hospital or sit with you and take on that empty chair in a time of unknown and mourning. Those are the moments that we prepare for. And they may seem sad or they may seem ridiculously mundane, but that's the world we live in. That's what God has prepared us for, to be right here and to be right now and to respond to the needs that we see in our midst. As Paul said, to celebrate with those who celebrate, to mourn with those who mourn. That's what we do here and now. We're not stacking the deck for some future reality. We are living in the moments, playing the hand that has been dealt to us. I think that's the kind of preparation that Jesus is talking about. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. We just don't know when Jesus is going to show up. Not that he's going to come back. He will at some point, whatever that looks like. But he's already here, calling. When I was in college, the campus pastor at Texas A&M, Deb Grant, would always ask us every week, where have you seen Jesus this week? It was a faithful practice she had with her confirmation kids. It's something that I've used ever since. Where have you seen Jesus this week? And not some silly answer to get a laugh, but where have you seen the Spirit, the presence of God, show up? Maybe in an unexpected way, in somebody else or in yourself. I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. God's anointed will be here at an unexpected hour. And if we who celebrate the resurrection and Christ's continual presence know that, then we look at the world in a different way. Sure, we're surprised by it, but we're not caught off guard because we've prepared. And quite frankly, we expect Jesus to show up. We expect Jesus to grace our tables, to grace our bedsides, in the great joyful moments and in the sad moments alike. So keep awake, people of God. Maybe take on that different level of awareness, because the world's going to go 90 miles an hour for the next 4 weeks. And it's going to be one event after another, one invitation to celebrate, one more thing to give to, one more present to buy. It's going to be a constant companion. But this time of year invites us to a different way of being present, a different way of being aware, a different way of being awake. We don't have to forsake the ways of the world. We just live into the creativeness that God has given us, the awareness and the presence that has been gifted to us by our Creator. So let us wake up. Let us be aware. Let us be creative and imaginative. And let's celebrate this season. After all, if there's one birthday party we ought to celebrate, it's Jesus. Amen. So let's sing a song about rejoicing. Hymn 244, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers. Let us stand and sing together.